Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, but I will read from verse 1. This is reading of God's Word. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, that we may grow in faith and will become more like Christ every day. And Father, through your word, let us meet your Son and have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. As we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us imitate him in all things. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Or NIV says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. This verse that we're looking at today, it starts with the word therefore. So whatever command of God that follows flows out of what comes before. So command to consider the members of our earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed is not according to worldly morals. We must remember always the commands of God are always in terms of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. Think about it. If Jesus never came, if he did not do all that he has done, then every command of God is actually telling us to go to hell. Because there is no way for you and for me to obey to the level of God's standard so that judgment will not come to us. But that's not how God commands us. He commands because he has accomplished something for us. You know, I keep telling you this, but you really need to remember that he gave 10 commandments after God saved Israelites out of Egypt, not before. Because of that salvation, everything changed. So God is commanding them to live a new life. And that's what commands of God is all about. So even commands brings joy to us because that command shows us what God has accomplished. That we are now God's people who are able to obey his commands. In Jesus Christ, of course. So God's command is in terms of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. Verses 1 through 4. That's why I read from verse 1 through 4 before I read verse 5. Since we have been raised up with Christ, since we are dead to sin, since we are dead to this world, since we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God, and since Christ, who is our life, will reveal that time, we will also reveal with him in the glory. Therefore, that's how our verse begins. Since all of these are our spiritual reality, our present heavenly realities, consider then the members of your earthly body as dead. Consider our old self dead. Our old self that used to belong to this sinful world, consider that self dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." See, our former self before salvation that used to live in the lust of our flesh, consider that self as dead. Or NIV says, put to death that old self. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, "So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God." That former self that used to live for the lust of men. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Did you catch that phrase? The body of sin. But that body of sin is done away with. You see, without what Christ has done and the heavenly realities that he has accomplished for us, this command is not something we could obey. We must be born again. We must be given the new nature. This world thinks that sinners could do this through their education. The world lowers the standards to their own sinful level and thinking that they are actually meeting God's standard. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of flesh." Education will not do it. That's what Old Testament is. God gave all these laws and educated his people so that, A, obey, but they could not. So he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. Through him, his people are now given new nature. We're born again. We're recreated in his own image. Now in him, we are able to obey. The law could not accomplish the righteousness in the sinners. What the law could not do, God did by sending his own son. who could teach the sinners and tell them not to do the sinful acts a million times, but the sinners by nature cannot and will not able to obey according to perfect standard of God. The problem is our sinful hearts. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, Jesus saying that which proceeds out of man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defiles the man. See, the new heart must be given. Nothing other than new creation can change the man. And the gospel is saying just that. That Jesus Christ, what he accomplished, what he did, and through that, God now made us new creation. He gave us new heart. Completely new nature. But everything he does is in two stages. I keep telling you. So yes, we are justified, we are declared righteous, but at the same time, until his return, we are becoming more righteous. That's what is called sanctification. The gospel, that new heart has been created in us, his people. The new creation has been accomplished. Thus, we are now able to obey in Christ. We are able to consider our old self as dead. Why? Because our old self is actually dead in Jesus Christ. Again, it's not visible. When you look at yourself, it seems like actually your old self is still living. And it's because of that, what I just said, that everything that Jesus accomplishes, he accomplishes it in two stages. So in the first coming, he accomplishes it, but it's never visible. But when he comes back, it will be all visible. So until his second coming, you being recreated as a new creation is not visible. It's something that you must believe because the Bible tells us. You must trust what God says to you. This is God's design. This is his way. That's why it's always through his word. It's by believing. It's by faith. We must believe that fact, that our old self is indeed dead. And our life, our sanctifying life, is nothing less than killing that old self, which is already dead. But because he accomplishes things in two stages, it's always that it is already done, but it's being done, and one day that it will be visibly consummated. All three is truth. Heaven has already come, but it's coming, and one day visibly it will be here. We are already resurrected spiritually. But when Jesus comes back, who will be resurrected visibly, meaning bodily. So you must understand that I'm already dead. Our old self is dead, but that old self is being dead. It's continuing to die. And one day that fact will be visibly consummated. Everybody will see that my old self is completely dead that day. So we're killing the old self that is already dead. That's what life of sanctification is. It has already been done, but it is being done, and it will be visibly consummated when Jesus returns. The old self is dead, but it is continually dying even now, and when Jesus returns, it will be completely visibly dead. God's command to us is not do our best to put to death our old self. It is not about giving our best effort, even though we might not be able to put it to death. It is already dead. You must start from there. You must believe first. And you will not fail killing this old self because it is already dead. You need to trust your Lord, who has accomplished this for you. Thus, our effort to put it to death will be successful, without any doubt. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, this killing our old self. We struggle, but you will be successful because it is already dead. It is either we put it to death or we will die. But you're not going to die because you're truly Christian, meaning that we will be able to put it to death. And in Jesus Christ, we will ultimately win over sin. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was victorious, and His victory is our victory. We have already won. And even though many times it looks like we are being defeated, we are winning. And one day, when Jesus comes back, our victory will be visibly consummated. You must believe this. Without faith, so there is no discouragement in Christianity. Even as you look at yourself being defeated by sin and from this world more times than you would like, but you must continue to trust what Christ has done for you. This is God's design. This is how you have triumphed ultimately. It's by faith. In verses 9 and 10, we see both the old self and the new self. The old self is dead in Jesus Christ, and it is dying always, and one day, like I keep saying, it will be visibly consummated, and you will hear that more times than maybe you would like to. All will be able to see the death of it clearly. That old self, the old self that belongs to this world, that old self that belongs to sin, we are called to put the nature of that self to death. Why? Because our new self has already become the partakers of the divine nature. And becoming the partakers of the divine nature, and one day that reality will be visibly consummated. The old self, the members of our earthly body, the other translations, NIV, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, Namely, the five things in our verse: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And you are called to put these things to death. Because the old self who used to live according to these things, that self is dead. Of course, the old self consists more than these five things. But we're dealing with verse 5, so we'll deal with these five things. Immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside of the body. But the immoral man sins against his own body. NIV says it, sexual immorality. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, immorality is one of the deeds of the flesh. Of course, the Bible does not teach all sexual relationships are immoral. Sexual relationship between a husband and a wife is a beautiful thing to the eyes of God. But all sexual relationship other than that of a husband and wife are immoral. You know, nowadays, this kind of truth is just laughed at. You know, sex before marriage, they want to do it just to see how it will be. Who cares what God says? But any sexual relationship outside of a husband and wife is immoral. It's a very sick thing to God. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 8. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warn you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting men, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Impurity, passion, evil desire. Of course, again, the Bible does not teach all passions and desires are sin. But passions and desires that belong to the old self are sinful. We are called to desire God. And the greed or coveting, which amounts to idolatry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 says, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possession. Brothers and sisters, we all have strong desires. We crave and covet. The Bible does not teach that all desires and craving and coveting are evil and sinful. Not all desires are greed. Desiring or coveting in and of itself is not evil. This is unlike what the Buddhists will teach. The Buddhism teaches that all desires are bad. It teaches that our ultimate goal is to reach what they call nothingness, in which we have no desires whatsoever. Their heaven is all about being free from all desires. The truth is God made us to have desires. Telling a man not to have desire is like telling him to be something other than a man or woman. We should never understand these things in terms of the worldly morals. A strong desire or coveting in and of itself is not sin. It is all about what we covet, what we desire. We are commanded to covet or strongly desire our God, and strongly desire to glorify our God. But greed is definitely sin. It's idolatry. This is not what I'm saying. Bible says greed, which amounts to idolatry, is worshiping another god. The person who is involved in this sin is not satisfied with what God has given him. They covet the things that it doesn't belong to them. He is dissatisfied with what God is doing in his life, dissatisfied with God's work in his life, no satisfaction in his heart. It is like saying in his heart, I know better than God. I know what God should do. He is wrong in not giving me what I want. I mean, of course, he will not say out loud like that, but that's what he's saying as he covets. Yeah, that's why I don't get involved in worldly things, especially on Lord's Day. I don't want to look at commercials, because those commercials, I have to be honest with you, it makes me covet. That's what commercials are. What do you think it's doing to you? It makes me look at these things and say, oh, I want that. But rather than that, I should want God and communion with Him, especially on this Lord's Day. No satisfaction. And I think this is the biggest problem with the people today. They're not satisfied. That's the problem. Even Christians who confess that God is in complete control, that He knows what He's doing and He's in control, and everything is according to His plan, and yet they're not satisfied. As if God is doing something wrong. These people say in their hearts, if I could just have this or that, then I will be okay. Thus, he covets the possession of the others. And with so much emotion and energy, he covets. And possessing what he covets becomes the center of his life, the purpose of his life. The whole life is consumed by it. And he is never satisfied until he possesses what he covets. And even when he gets it, his never satisfied heart wants more and more. Thus, he lives his life as a slave of what he covets. This is not a good desire. Thus, the Bible teaches us that greed is idolatry, because it becomes his or her purpose and goal in their lives. That's why they want certain jobs or want to go to certain school. It's all about obtaining, possessing the things of the world. God says, God warns these people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 through 10, if we have food and covering, which all of us do, with these things we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Because they want this world so much that they even wander away from faith. Because love of money is a root of all sorts of things, source of evil. And don't think that you are above this. We all think to ourselves, if I win like $1 million in lottery, I think I could use that in a glorifying God way. And I'm not saying you can't. You could, but more often than not, you will fall into temptations. Money changes people. Believe me. Personally, I saw money actually changes people. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5a, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It gives us hope because Paul says he learned to be content in all kinds of circumstances. You know, he's writing this in a prison. He learned to be content. Because his contentment is not connected to the worldly thing. He finds his contentment in Christ. So that whatever happens in this world, even if you have so much or you lose all things, your contentment doesn't change. Your satisfaction stays the same because it is not in terms of the worldly things. He learned, which means you and I could also learn to be this way. But in this world, this is the most foolish person. You live like this, man, they will laugh at you. Because their whole purpose is to getting this world and the things of the world. Because of that, when they see you saying these kind of stuff, not only it doesn't make any sense to them, but you look foolish. You look dumb. This is why Christianity is not for everyone. We just go and tell the truth. Whether they accept or not, that's not up to us. That's up to God. Then how can we put to death these things? That's the question. Now God calling us to put to death these things. But remember the very first word of this verse? Therefore, put to death. Going back to the earlier verses, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And even going further back, Paul told us to fast, hold fast Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you set your mind on the things of this world, then you will be dissatisfied. I mean, that's just obvious. Because you don't have these things that you're coveting. You don't have it. That's why when you set your minds on those things, of course you're going to be dissatisfied. Command is not, even if you don't have, don't be dissatisfied. Command is to don't even think about those things. Set your mind on the things above. We must set our minds on the things above and on Jesus Christ. Because only in Him we will find complete satisfaction. Only in Jesus Christ. You know, even people who have so much, they will never have that satisfaction that they're seeking. I mean, didn't you ever wonder? I did. I mean, like, there's people with billions and billions of dollars now. And yet, they want more. I mean, I tell myself, if I have $1 billion, that's it. I'm not going to work anymore. I will enjoy all that. But this is not how our sinful heart works. You will want more. And don't ever think that you're above this. You're as sinner, as just sinful as anybody else. It's not like you're any better than any other person. I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me. We all deserve to go to hell. We're all sinful. Unless God pours out His grace, but you feel, if you follow the Bible, man, you're going to miss out so much, right? But the truth is that even those people who have so much in the world, they will miss out. And I don't have a word to describe how much they will miss out forever as they go to hell because they will not trust Christ. Do not be deceived. Do not listen to the lies of this world. But it's so hard. Because, man, if I do what the Bible says, man, I'm going to miss out so much. This is what we think. Because you don't know what you're gaining in Jesus Christ. That's why your whole focus is about you missing out rather than what you have gained, what you possess in Christ. Only in Him we possess all things. Again, you say, oh, well, we possess all things. I don't see any. That's the point. That's why world thinks it's foolishness what we're saying, because we cannot see what we possess. So why would non-believer follow this? That's why we're called believers. We believe. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of man, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. Man, they look as if they're having so much fun. But it's not fun. They think it is. Even in movies, you know how many times these young people, without getting married, they just have sex, but they never show anybody having a baby. So it's like they try to portray to you that it's life without any responsibility. And lie to you that it's just fun. But there are consequences. God set up these rules in this world. And nobody is above it. I hate to use this word, but try God. And see how fun, truly fun, that life is. Don't you wonder sometimes when you read Psalms, these people, they cry out to God and they're so happy and so blessed, and then you wonder, what is that all about? Why is this guy so happy? Well, try it. Only people who will not be happy with Christ is those people who do not know what that is. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. NIV, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. This is not who you are. You have been saved out of all this. Right now, we're not judging anybody. We're not saying you're worse than me or I am worse than you. What we're saying is what Christ has already accomplished for us. And I pray that all of us will believe what He has done and what He has accomplished for us, so that we may live our lives by faith, that we may live our lives according to what has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, we're going to fail again. I mean, I fail like, you know, more years you live, more sins you have committed. It's not like, you know. It's not like what the world says, as you get older, you get wiser and you learn. No, no, no. You just sin more. Unless God pours out His grace. And what Peter says, don't you think that your past life, how many years of those sinful things you did in those times, Peter is asking you, don't you think that for when it comes to sinning, don't you think that those past times, are they not enough? Don't you think in those past times that we sin like too much, are they not enough? So he's saying, why don't we stop? I think we sin enough. And I pray that you will hear God's voice in those passages. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. This is your present spiritual reality. Believe what you have already become. You're not slaves to these things. Even though you know how easy is for you to commit these sins that we're talking about. But you must still believe that you are not slave to those things. You have been saved out of those things. That He, our old self, was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. This is what happened to us. And rejoice. Even as you read these verses and you go, whoa, whoa, man, I'm in trouble. Because I want this world. You know, I love it. Even as you see yourself like that, I want you to trust what Bible tells you, what God says to you. That you have been resurrected from the dead. You're dead to this world. And you're dead to sin. Believe. This is how our sanctifying life begins, by faith. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace that You pour out to us. We thank You for Your word, the truth, the beautiful stories You tell us, what Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. Oh Father, let us believe. Let us believe what kind of people You made us to be. What kind of people we have become in Christ. Even though we do things that is contrary to what Your word says about us. Let us repent, but let us believe what your word says to us, how we are now the new creation, that we live the life that belongs to heaven. Oh, Father, pour out your grace and receive much glory as we put to death our old self. And we know that we'll be successful killing our old self because it's already dead in Jesus Christ. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.